Jolly old Saint Nicholas, lean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm gonna say. Christmas time is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you've got for me, tell me if you can. Jingle, jingle, tinkle, tinkle, sleigh bells in the snow. It's jolly old Saint Nicholas and his reindeer, don't you know?
Ho, 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 jingle, 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 tinkle, 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 sleigh bells in the snow. Ho, ho, it's jolly old Saint Nicholas and his reindeer, don't you know?
I think this is going to work. Like I said in the first hour, this is an interesting broadcast because the power is out where I'm at. It's about 25 below zero. It's about 45 below zero with the wind chill. It's a beautiful day outside, though. No power. The cell phone connection is terrible. And so I have to stand in a particular spot, and I can't move. Otherwise, we lose the connection. So it's interesting. Anyway, I mentioned the royal law. This subject keeps coming up over and over, this idea of being under the law. We heard last week, you know, talking about the law of Moses and different things, which I addressed. The point that I made about the chosen, speaking of, you know, Jesus saying, I am the law of Moses, and Dallas Jenkins explaining, well, what we meant was, you know, like you go to somebody's house and they have a party and somebody says, I'm going to call the police. And the guy says, bro, I am the police. So now Jesus is speaking like a bro, apparently, according to Dallas Jenkins. And I know that he didn't necessarily mean it in that way. But again, it's reductive. It's, you know, speaking of blasphemy, as I've mentioned, blasphemy is not just that which outrightly defames or injures, but it also is that which derogates. And I would submit that that is exactly what we're talking about. And that's what is kind of at the heart of the chosen. It's this progressive gospel, if you will, which is a false gospel. And it is this attempt to familiarize Jesus in a way that is not accurate and not appropriate, because again, he is different. He is holy and set apart. And we read about that sort of concept in places like Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to peace, Lord. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. That's crazy. Who is this person that's saying these things? I mean, that doesn't sound good. What's the point of all that? Jesus continues. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Their concept, they call it lordship salvation. I really don't understand it. It seems like a, what do you call it? It's a fallacy where you're making a distinction that isn't there. I forget what the name of it, but it seems that's what's going on. So anyway, Jesus himself makes a clear case that he is different. He is set apart, and we are called to be holy as he is holy, the Bible says. That's not, I don't think, the depiction that is portrayed in The Chosen. Anyway, the issue that I took specifically, and we played the clip of the commercial for the trailer for season 3, of The Chosen, and they show Jesus is saying, I am the law of Moses. And I said, that's something that Jesus would never say because it's not true. And you will not find that in the Bible anywhere. He is superior to the law, which we see in a number of places. Before I continue, though, maybe since this is such a sobering subject, maybe we'll begin with prayer. I haven't mentioned the announcements. I guess before we, you know, do that, announcements will be closed for Christmas and New Year's. Obviously, that's tomorrow. So now we're hours away. I don't know who are we. Do we know when the book announcement is going to be made? Who won? Yeah, what broadcast we're going to do that on? If we're going to do that today, we'll find out about that in a second. But we'll be closed from tomorrow until the 26th, as has been mentioned. And again, for New Year's on January 1st and 2nd. And we wish you a Merry Christmas. Hope that you're able to gather with loved ones, and hopefully you have a joyful and merry Christmas, New Year's. We'll be back next week, obviously. But it's going to be a short week. So, 4 days. So we'll be gone Monday, the 26th, right? And then back Tuesday through Friday, and then closed for the 1st and 2nd of January. And, of course, we're having a book drive. So perhaps you've heard we're having a book drive now through January 8th. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to win a book previously owned by John Stab Miller himself. And the entrants who do not win a book carry over into the next week's drawing. We're coming down to the wire, though, so this is week 7. Only have 2 more weeks left, so we're getting down to it. This week's book is By Way of Deception by Victor Ostrovsky and Claire Hoy, right? And, you know, obviously we're down to hours away from Christmas and getting close to New Year's as well, almost a week away from New Year's. It's that time. I've done close to 40 movies. I haven't mentioned any of the movies this week, I don't think, yet. And I don't have my list at my fingertips. It's on that box that won't turn on right now. So I intended to give you all of the movies through the end of the weekend, you know, through Christmas, the rest of the movies. I'll try to publish that today, by the end of today, and have that at least linked in the archives for today at some point, if that's something that is meaningful to anyone. But I don't have it at the moment because, again, the box won't turn on, the power is out, and so that's where we're at as far as that's concerned. So maybe a little prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that this broadcast, and especially what comes from now forward, would be edifying, would be honoring and glorifying to you, and that those with ears to hear would hear, and that the Holy Spirit would have your way in this time and what is said. And I pray that it's edifying in Jesus' name. Amen. Just something quick. So back to 1 Samuel. The law, you know, this idea of the law and the standard that Jesus gives, you know, it's an interesting subject. You know, in John 8, for example, we were not, you know, there's this accusation that's made that if you're not careful, you can miss, I think, this back and forth, this volleying. You know, Jesus says to the Jews who are believing him, in him, in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This is all the NASB 95, by the way. And they say, we're Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone, I guess they forgot they were in Rome. I guess they forgot about that 490 years in Egypt. Never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave, is the slave of sin. So you're either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. That's the controversy. And if you're not careful, you can skip over that and miss it. What are they saying when they say we were not born of fornication? They're implying something very unsavory about the birth of Christ. You know, the virgin birth, they're basically saying was not as we understand it. It was something very less than virtuous. That's quite a statement. So this is interesting. And then so the point being, you know, this is a volley and this is an accusation, and Jesus says, when it comes to these kinds of matters, speaking of sin, that, you know, when it comes to adultery, for example, if a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her, then he has committed adultery. It's not just, you know, some kind of physical act. If you're caught red-handed, that's the sin. It's more than that. And this gets to this higher standard. This all hints at a higher standard. You know, we have the Ten Commandments, but Jesus was asked, which is the greatest of the commandments? And he said, the first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it. It's 1A and 1B. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, today I give you a new command, love your enemy. You've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Today I give you a new command, love your enemy. And so that's interesting. You know, then he was asked, actually, who is my neighbor? Anyway, this all hints at something greater. Which is the greatest of the commandments? They deal with love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do the second, you honor God in a way that is essentially doing the first that he mentioned. So it's 1A and 1B. And I think you can boil that down into one, as I said the other day, but I'll get to that. So 1 Samuel 15 is an interesting passage. I think God's sense of humor is demonstrated here, is apparent. Samuel says to Saul, go utterly destroy the Amalekites. There's a backstory there. And Saul is notorious for not doing what God commands, but also not taking responsibility for it. He's not a buck stops here kind of guy. So he doesn't do exactly as he's commanded. He captures the king of the Amalekites and brings Agag, the king, back with them when he's commanded specifically to destroy everything. And again, there's backstory there, but if you're not familiar. And so in 1 Samuel 15:10, you read, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel arose early in the morning to meet Saul. Samuel arose early in the morning, to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself. Set up a monument for himself. Then turned and proceeded in, on down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. Have you indeed, Saul? Because he was commanded to destroy everything. And so Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? In other words, he's looking over his shoulder and saying, What's this entourage that you have with you then? If you destroyed everything. And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And he keeps saying that too, the Lord your God, which is peculiar since he is the king of these folks, and including Samuel, but not taking responsibility. So he blames it on the military entourage that went with him. So he says, the sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then so they kept the best of everything, which is, insult to injury. Then Samuel said to Saul, Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He said to him, Speak. Samuel said, Is it not true? Though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Again, there's backstory. But that's for a different time. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil on the side of the Lord? Again, fast forward to the New Testament, to him who knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin, and whatever is not of faith is sin, is a higher standard. Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord. That's a bold claim. And went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and have brought back Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Cognitive dissonance much? But the people, here he goes with that again, took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. There he goes with the Lord your God thing again. And this idea of things devoted to destruction is an interesting concept to chase out in the Old Testament. But continuing, Samuel said, here's where it gets interesting. Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? God says the cattle on 1,000 hills are his, so what will we give him? Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. That's an interesting concept. And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. And this is interesting. Continuing on. And again, we intellectually in America, we are sort of, the higher you go in academia, the more concentrated and virulent the strain of what you see in 1 Samuel 23. I guess I need to move on. We proceeding rapidly. Stick around. Be right back after the short break.
Cold crisp and light with sharp winds blowing. We are going onward through the night. Hey,
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
All around the Christmas tree, there you'll see such a happy family. They've come from far away just to spend this day. Gifts for everyone are gathered underneath the tree. All around there's so much cheer, so much fun, so much peace and harmony. What a pleasant sight to see this happy family. What a joyful
welcome back. All right, so what's the point of this? First Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is iniquity and idolatry. That is learn in the hallowed halls of academia, and especially Ivy League, and the higher up you go, again, the more virulent and concentrated the strain. We've heard that from all kinds of folks, you know, from Charlotte Itcherby to John Taylor Gatto, Sam Blumenfeld, to on and on the list goes. This is something that has been increasingly prevalent and pervasive over the last 150 years. You know, continuing on into chapter 16, so, you know, God sent Samuel to Jesse's house to find the new king, because you read in 1 Samuel 15:23, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you from being king. And that didn't happen immediately. There's, you know, other stuff that happens in the intervening years, essentially. But in the, 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is, he goes to Jesse's house, and 16:6 says, then it came about when they entered, he then looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees. God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And this is an interesting concept. You see curious illustrations of this, and provocative, I would say, in places like Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. What instrument does science have today to make that division? Sharper than any two. This is sharper than any surgical scalpel you can find. Piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. That's pretty surgically precise. But then this, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Not just the thoughts, but the intentions of the heart. That's incredible. So this starts to get to the heart of the matter, pun I suppose intended. Anyway, speaking of now that it's reasoned together, I think that's evidence of God's sense of humor as well. In Isaiah chapter 1, it's you know, the book of Isaiah opens as an indictment, literally. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's name, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And he goes on. This is one of those places, you know, yesterday, what I mentioned about Sodom and Gomorrah as an archetype and a harbinger. For the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom, we would be like Gomorrah. Here we will rule of Sodom, give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And then multiplied sacrifice to me. Again, this echoes what you see in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel says, well, we did all these things, and you know, you think of Jesus, for example, saying that that day many will come and say, Lord, we did not do all these wonderful sacrificial things. We gave of ourselves. And that day I will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. How could that happen? So similarly in Isaiah 1, for your multiple sacrifices to me, says the Lord, I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls. What is the point? What is the distinction? Just to cut to the chase real quick on this before we go to the break. You know, because Jesus talks about the widow who gave it all. What she gave was more in a certain context than these other folks gave, even though she gives a pittance compared, monetarily speaking. What was the difference? Stick around, Greg. Catcher's glove. I bought a super pressure cooker for my sister Kate, but I'm sending Christmas roses to my love. Christmas roses, Christmas roses. Oh, I'm sending Christmas.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. The sound is terrible because the power is out and the cell phone connection is poor here. The power's been out for hours. I'm sure it'll come back on as soon as this broadcast is over. But it's a beautiful day, even though it's 25 below and about 40 or 45 below with the wind chill. It's beautiful. So one quick announcement. The book announcement will be made. The winner will be made on Tuesday. We'll be gone for Christmas, obviously, beginning tomorrow, December 23rd through the 26th. And then again for New Year's on January 1st and 2nd. But this week's book winner will be announced on Tuesday, officially. Next Tuesday, the 27th. Is that what that would be? So, there's that. What was I talking about? Just kidding. So there's this story that we read about. I think God's sense of humor is demonstrated in Isaiah. You know, places like Isaiah chapter 1, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they will be like wool." The joke is sort of on us to a certain extent. That's probably not the best way to put it. But to me, when God says, "Come now, let us reason together," the indictment that precedes it lets us know that we can't reason. We don't reason. He's the only one who can reason. And so, to Fred's point, you know, about the age of reason, it's a fool's errand to think that man could embark on something called the age of reason by himself, which is essentially what he was doing, is rebelling against God. That is the, if the French Revolution is identified in anything, I would say it's that. And that was, you know, I mean, it's sort of an acknowledged fact of history that it was Illuminized and patently anti-God, anti-biblical. So when God says, "Come now, let us reason together," and then the next part verifies what I'm saying, you know, "Though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow." Who can do that? How can that happen? "Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." How can that happen? Well, he answers the question following: if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So speaking of this idea that God says, "I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats." And, you know, back to 1 Samuel 15, to obey is better than sacrifice, which you read in Isaiah and other places, this concept. So in Mark 12, verse 41 and following reads, "And he sat down, Jesus, opposite the treasury, and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums," probably a tax write-off. "A poor widow," not to disparage anyone in particular, but that's kind of, you know, in keeping with the context of what we read. "A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent." Again, this is the NASB 95. "Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury.'" She put in more than all the rest of them, according to Jesus. "For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned, all she had to live on." So what's the difference? You know, what is her motivation, as they say? What is she, how does she benefit? What does she get out of this? And she is motivated by faith. She knows that God will take care of her in a way that no one else can. He has a special place for widows and orphans, for example. And that's an interesting concept all in itself. In James, we read, speaking of religion, at the end of James chapter 1, verse 25 and following, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law," this gets to the concept of the royal law I'm talking about, one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, I would submit this is the law that the Christian is under, if the Christian is under a law, "not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." Well, what is not worthless religion? "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." And when you really dig deep into the word of God, you realize that we are all widows and orphans, separated from the bridegroom and orphaned from our Heavenly Father. Thank God that he sent Jesus to remedy that. So the widow lives by faith. And in the King James, first Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Hebrews 11 is considered the hall of faith, where, you know, their faith was credited to them as righteousness. In the NASB 95, Romans 1:17 says, "For in the righteousness of God is for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." And this, you know, is a concept that we see echoed throughout the Bible. This is actually a reference to Habakkuk 2:4. So what's the point of all of this? What is this concept of the law? I think we read about it beginning in, you know, particularly it's the concept is punctuated in Romans chapter 7. And so just to give you that real quick before I skip to the royal law. Romans 7, starting in verses 1 to 25, or, and this is NASB 95 again, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives?" This is why I asked, if we have died with Christ and we are raised with him to walk in newness of life, then what law is the Christian under? And so Paul is dealing with the question, you know, what is the believer under law? Is the law evil? Is the law a cause of death? How can I resolve the struggle within myself? These kinds of questions arise. "The law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives, for the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man." This is an interesting concept, and, you know, Jesus is asked, okay, so, you know, woman marries seven brothers, you know, she marries the first guy and he dies and so on and so on and so on. So who's she married to in heaven? He says, you guys don't know whereof you speak. Anyway, continuing, "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law," capital L in the NASB 95, "through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." If we deny that, and we deny him and we say, oh no, just implicitly, inherently, and we say, I am under something other than this, then we deny Christ. And that has obvious implications. Continuing, "For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now," here is it. I mean, in a nutshell, I would say this is it right here. Romans 7, verse 6. "But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which by which we were bound, so that," why are we released? "So that we serve in newness of the spirit and not oldness of the letter." It's easy to find loopholes if we are walking by the letter, so to speak. If we're going to be an ambulance chasing attorney, we can find all the loopholes we want to get away with whatever we want. But in truth, there are no loopholes. Like Jesus said, every yacht and tittle will be fulfilled, which is interesting because when you get down to the yacht and the tittle, there's very little distinction. Every nuance. The spirit, in other words, of the law will be fulfilled. So now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not oldness of the letter. We serve out of love, not because it is compulsory. It's not the Sheldon Cohen thing that he talked about with Aaron Russo, when he says, you know, do you stop at a red light at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's no one around? I do. Most people do. It's voluntary compliance. It's not this goofy concept of voluntary compliance. It's not compulsory. It's out of love. So that we serve in newness of the spirit and not oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. I was once alive apart from the law. And this is an interesting, you know, the age of understanding in young people, some people say around 7 years old. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive in me. Sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And he answers the question, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. So this is an interesting concept. But again, that one verse, Romans 7:6, I think says it all. But now we have been released from the law, capital L, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the spirit and not oldness of the law, or excuse me, oldness of the letter. And so, you know, what does this have to do with the this idea of the royal law? Has everything to do with it. And so the royal law, in the interest of time, if you want to chase this out, I would say the royal law is, I believe, the only kingdom law. I think you can see that in scripture. This is my own conjecture. I've not heard or read this anywhere. And I am just part of the laity. I am not the clergy. I'm not, you know, formally trained in any of this. I'm part of the laity, but I have the mind of Christ, I believe. So 1 Corinthians 2 tells me that Jesus is my high priest. the royal law, which I believe is the only kingdom law, is this. I think, you know, if you could you boil the Bible down to one idea? I think it's love, do perfect love is the kingdom law. And if you want to boil it down to one word, it's the word love. Lark and I talked about love recently. He mentioned agape. In 1 Corinthians 13, the word in the King James, charity, is the translation of the Greek word agape. I will finish this when we come back. Stick around, final segment coming up. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
The green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen. It's Christmas in Killarney with all the folks at home. It's nice, you know, to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe. And Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home. The door is always open, the neighbors pray a call. And Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this December 22nd, 2022. We are closed tomorrow and through the weekend, obviously, in observance of Christmas, December 23rd to the 26th. So to conclude this idea of the royal law as we go out, What is the royal law? Let's start with Jesus himself in John 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's an interesting idea. And again, in John 15, verse 12 and following, "This is my command," Jesus says, "this is my commandment to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." You know, somebody asked recently, everyone was Jesus' friend, right? He was a friend to all. Jesus himself said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." What does he command? "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." That's a powerful statement. But then this, punctuating it, verse 17, "This I command you, that you love one another." That's what he commands. James, I mentioned James chapter 1, verse 25 in particular, "But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." And chapter 2, verses 8 and 12, "If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well." And verses 12 and 13, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." Judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's a powerful statement. And you see this obviously in places like Matthew 7:12, the golden rule, and the King James, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." This is the law and the prophets. That's a bold statement. Luke 6:31 is another one of these law of liberty passages. Luke 6:31. "Treat others the same way you want them to treat you," is the golden rule. So if you want to chase this out a little bit, a few passages, Romans 13, 8 through 10 and 8, 2, Galatians 6, 2, 5, 13 and 14, 1 Corinthians 9, 21, 2 Peter 3, 2, 21, Psalm 1, 2, Colossians 3, 14. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope you have a fantastic and Merry Christmas. Hope you're able to gather with loved ones. I hope it was edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.